Let me tell you in a nutshell what I have to say about this business of awakening, of enlightenment, and so forth. You are, right now, in this moment, as awake as you will ever be. And that's true, no matter in what moment I say that. You're as awake as you'll ever be. And that can either be received as really good news or really bad news. It's really good news if you hear it and if you want, if what you want is to be awake. It's really bad news for obvious reasons. But I want to talk about the possibility of it being really good news. And if you receive it, if it really comes home to you that what I'm saying is the literal truth and not a metaphor for anything, then it's really good news if it turns out that what you really want is to be awake. But I don't think that's true. I think certainly by the time we have gotten this far in our lives, this far in the play that is the unfolding novel of my life, gotten this far that I am in satsang rather than in the neighborhood tavern, for example, it's certainly true that if I have come this far, it must be because I am convinced that what I really want is to be awake, is to be enlightened, self-realized, so forth. But it's my sense and my experience that this wanting to be awake is just one more in a long train of things that we have wanted to be. We have wanted to be rich, powerful, loved, right, above all, underlying all, right, smart. Educated. We have wanted to have understanding. We have wanted to be the one who can get things done. We have wanted to be the one who is comfortable in their life, at home in our life. We have wanted to be the one who truly loved others. We have wanted to be the one in a true, steady, and vibrant relationship with somebody or something, some community, somewhere. Early in our life, we had wanted to be popular, wanted to be a hero, a heroine. We've even wanted to be, well, there's no end to it, the things we have wanted to be. And now we arrive at the stage in which we have come to the conclusion, or this is my experience, that all of that other wanting was to no avail, that it was false trails, and that we have finally hit upon what it is we really want, which is to be awake. And we have hit upon this as the result of hearing or reading or getting the transmission in one way or another of stories from others who we imagine to be awake about their experiences, about their states, about the comfort and ease of their lives, about their clarity. Generally, it's other people writing about those who are awake. Those who are about whom all this writing and talking is done tell us always the same thing. You are awake now as you will ever be. You have never been asleep. You are free. That we want something is for sure. Our whole lives are driven. Our every breath is taken by virtue of this energy that moves these bodies, that enlivens the senses, that causes the lungs to draw breath and the heart to beat. This energy, which itself is just wanting. Feels like wanting to live. But again, here we are, alive. Just as here we are, awake. So it's my experience and my sense always that the reason we're miserable, the reason our lives don't satisfy, is really quite simple and straightforward. It's because we are not getting what we want. And the reason we're not getting what we want is because we don't know what we want. We hear about these things from the time we're children. We hear about things that will satisfy, that will fulfill us. Oh, a good family, good education. And we get to be adolescents, the mechanical engine of evolution kicks in, and then all we want is somebody sexual. And we think that's what we want. In truth, all that's happening is the kicking in of a mechanical, arbitrary outcome of evolution. Nothing we get satisfies, because nothing that we get and nothing that we seek after is truly what we want. That we want is certain. What we want, so far as I can tell, what satisfies, so far as I can tell, is the truth. Just that. Just the truth. About what? Well, so far as I can see, there's only one thing we can know the truth about, and that's about ourself. What we are. Really, what we are. So far as I can tell, all we do throughout this life is try blindly, unconsciously, to satisfy that single sacred desire, which is to know what I am. We do it by deciding what I should not be, what I should be, what needs to be gotten rid of, what needs to be held on to, what I need to look like, what I need to think like, what I need to have, what I need to get rid of. All of this done, really to no purpose whatsoever, except to create, manifest, an acceptable self-definition. This is what I am. You don't know what I am. This is what I am. Well, I'm not what I want to be. I want to be something else. Got to get rid of this. Got to fix that. Got to hang on to that. All of our relationships are driven by this deep, unacknowledged need to know the truth of what I am. I am what I am in relation to you and them, the enemies, the friends, the lovers. We seek after knowledge for no reason other than to find what I am through understanding, through clear seeing. And all the while, the direction in which this unconscious and irresistible desire is projected is outward, on things, on ideas, on concepts, on my thoughts, on my emotions, on my body, my beliefs, why I am good, why I am bad. This outward projection of this desire is caused by the false belief that I am this mind, this body, these thoughts, these ideas, these good emotions, these bad emotions, these good desires, these bad desires, these good actions, these bad actions. Mostly these thoughts, this endless stream of thought, which, of course, is nothing more itself than an endlessly unfolding story about what I am, what I was yesterday, what I can expect to be tomorrow. This belief is unseen. That's what makes it a belief. It's unnoticed. It's unquestioned. Even when we arrive at the pinnacle of spiritual activity and see clearly with our intellect the inexistence of a separate being, see clearly with our intellect the foolishness of all that we have been doing, still our attention is devoted to analysis and interpretation and understanding of this unfolding story about what I am. Even if I hear and accept the announcement that I am awake, still my attention is on the story I am awake rather than the reality of what I am. Always, always, we disregard the reality of what we are in favor of the story about what we are. Has to be right. If I get that right, then I'll be right. So that, from my point of view, all of our lives, truly all of our lives, from the first moment that we took birth, which is not when we were expelled from the womb, but the first moment when the blind, naked sense of being separate, somebody, something, first arises in our consciousness. And from that moment, from that nanosecond on, everything that's done is done about the story that continues to unfold, first without words, and then finally with endless words, about what I am, what my shape is. Where do I find resistance? Where do I find comfort? Where do I find warmth? All the way through to the end. We don't know any better. There's no way in the world we could know any better. There's no one there to tell us. There's no way, even if our parents were finished with all stories about what they are, there's no way in that moment of the blind, unconscious almost recognition of being, for them to say anything to us that would stop us from seeking definition by my relationship with the world, with my thoughts, with the objects, with the forms and colors and people, with the ideas. Nothing can be done about it. I don't see anything that can be done about that. But there comes a moment in the spiritual search, which is fundamentally no different from the material search. No different. There's no such thing as spiritual life and worldly life. It's only life. There's only this wanting and not getting. There's only this longing for fulfillment and no fulfillment to be found in the world, in the spirit. Doesn't matter. But at least in the realm of the spirit, we are told explicitly from the very beginning, from the first contact, pretty much, that we have with spiritual teachings, that the problem is misidentification. We all know that word, that the problem is ego. It is a misidentification with ego. And somehow, the solution that seems to spontaneously arise to this announcement is, let's kill ego. That's the solution to my mistaken belief as to what I am. The solution is to kill what I mistakenly believe myself to be. The truth is, if this is true, that our only problem, that the only thing that continues to plague us, that continues to torment us, that continues to leave us unfulfilled in these lives, dissatisfied with our lives, if the only thing is a false belief about what I am, the thoughts, the mind, the body, and so forth, then the only solution is to find the truth of what I am. Directly. Immediately. How hard can that be? Truth is, I can't get away from myself. The truth is, there is absolutely no possible way that I can escape from myself. There's no way that I can be rid of this certainty of me. Try though I might. So what's so hard about it? The only thing that's hard about it is the deeply ingrained, entrenched, strong habit of following the belief that I am the story, that I am the thoughts, and continuing to disregard this undeniable, obvious, self-evident, unchanging presence in favor of thoughts and emotions and ideas and storylines and memories and expectations. A habit to do that. That's all it is. It's a habit. If in 1 second, in 1 instant, in this moment, it is absolutely possible to know, certainly, what I am. I cannot ever say what I am. I cannot ever think what I am. But that I am is certain. Absolute, unchanging, here. Now, of course, in the story, the outcome of self-inquiry, which is the name by which this decision to just for one moment disregard what I have given all of my regard to, the thoughts, the story, the body, and so forth, in favor of this that I have disregarded, this presence that I have disregarded, in the spiritual story, the outcome of that self-inquiry, that disregarding of what I have always paid attention to, and directing the totality of my regard to this that I am, the outcome of that must be then awakening. And if the story continues, if I see that, and anyone, no one sitting here can possibly deny that they exist. No one. Not to themselves. If I really see that, really, what I am is here. I know no time when I was not here. None. I know nothing about me that has ever changed. None. No one does. And in the moment of seeing that, the expectation from the spiritual story is that just seeing that, and I am awake. But you're already awake, you see. And what it means to be awake is that the story will get all fixed. But you're already awake, don't you see? With the story just as it is. And if I am awake, then thoughts will vanish. But you're already awake. You see, thoughts are no thoughts. And if I am awake, then my mind will be everything. I will see it all. Clarity will prevail. But you are already awake. So this self-inquiry business cannot be a means to an end, a means whereby my fantasy about what being awake is achieved, attained. This business of self-inquiry, if what I'm saying has any truth to it, is again what we have been doing all our life. It's all we do. Try to figure it out. What am I? So that the only outcome of the actual, direct, immediate tasting of what I am is more direct, immediate tasting of what I am. Has nothing to do with the story at all. Turns out the story that I thought was about me is about, well, nothing. So the story is or is not affected by my disengagement from it, my disregard of it, by which I mean nothing at all, like dissociation or even detachment. Just disregard. So, if what I'm saying is true, then the outcome of successful self-inquiry, the success of seeing what I have always wanted, which is to know what I am, the outcome of that is more of the same. If I find where the water is that quenches my thirst, then why wouldn't I keep going back to the well? It's what I do anyway, only now I know where to go. And then self-inquiry is like breath. We don't have to think when we draw a breath. We don't have to think when we expel breath. We just breathe. Just like we have always done self-inquiry, except with the added element of torment. So what we get from self-inquiry, from the self-inquiry that points us to what we're really looking for, is just fulfillment, that's all. Just an end to this wheel of wanting and not getting, that's all. No change in the story. No sudden enlightenment. No sudden blaze of glory. There may be a blaze of glory, there may not be. But the blaze of glory will burn out, and just as well, because if the blaze of glory were permanent, what would it be? Ordinary. Just like you. Here, all the time. Ever present. Ever shining. So this is the offering. This is all there is to it. It's just this suggestion that maybe we don't really know what it is we do want. Maybe what we really want, have always wanted, and have always been trying to get is the truth about what we are. And maybe that's easier than we ever imagined. Doesn't require anything. Except just one second of allowing your regard to open and relax and take in this limitless background that is so ordinary we have deliberately disregarded it for all of our lives. Not because I will discover that I am immortal consciousness. Maybe I am, maybe I ain't. Just so that I will discover the truth of what I actually am, here and now, prior to any thoughts about it, prior to any story about it. What I am, directly. No name, no story. I guess that's pretty much all I have to say. But I would be happy to talk about that or anything else. Or nothing. We could just sit here.